Hey guys, Chris here. I wanted to let you know that today's episode is a little more conversational. Felicia and I catch up and we talk about how it's going for her and what she's learning being in her new role at her new job and what it's like being on a team that's more cross-functional in nature rather than leading the charge. We talk about truth tellers, showing your teeth, critical race theory, social constructs, and advocating for yourself in the midst of it all. So, it's a doozy. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I am here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. I have said that so many times that I don't even have to, like, I know it, like, it's so weird how I could just spit that out. And it's like a whole paragraph of words. That's how well I know my intro, because I say it all the time. And the dumbest thing, I should have always had you just take the best recording of that intro and like use it every time, like keep it as a snippet. But no, yeah, no, my dumb ass will say it every single goddamn time. Every time. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. There's no reason to do that. But here we are.
Yeah, but it's good. It like has a different tempo, a different feel. And sometimes we can tell how you felt that day when you were recording based on how that intro came out. At least I could.
But that's not how a podcast works.
Yeah, but you're the Trillest MBA.
Okay.
That is how this podcast works.
Fair, which that's who I am. I'm fair. Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, F-A-R-E. So my two biggest goals, I just want to help my people. And when I say my people, I don't just mean Black people. What I mean by help my people is I want to help the people suffering in corporate America. That's all the people suffering in corporate America. Now, you know, the reason why I focus on Black women is because one, that's what I know, because I am one.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Two, you know, I took Nikayla's course, you know, the other podcast you'd be cheating on me with. and which I guess technically you're cheating on her with me because she had you first. But, you know, neither here nor there.
You know. Someone's a side, someone's the real, I don't know.
She's a side. Shout out, Nikayla. No, yeah. So I took her podcast mogul course. And in that course, she teaches you, you have to niche down. You have to niche down as much as you can. Because the idea that I want to talk to every single person that works in corporate America. Like
ever.
Yeah, no. So many people. And a lot of those people don't listen to podcasts. So really, you have to really focus. And then you have all the rest of the people are bonus. Like the parts of the podcast that resonate with people who work in corporate, that's great. And it helps people. Like you would not believe the amount of emails and, you know, messages on social media that I get from people who are not Black women who listen to the show. I'm like, oh my God, you helped me so much. And I'm like, that's pretty dope. Like, I love that. hope you're not offended by all these N-words. Because I drop them all the time.
Apparently not.
So, I mean, hey, get the knowledge where you can get it, right? So, but I will always say this, and someday I hope to meet them. I hope not to fangirl too much and scare the hell out of them. But the podcast that really inspired me to do this podcast is the Read podcast with Kid Fury and Crystal. I love listening to their podcast. They're a pop culture podcast. And really what was inspiring for me is to see two Black queer people, like all the marginalization you could get, right? Like
all the cross sections.
Yes, all the cross sections, all the intersectionality. And they are so successful just by being themselves. Like, this is who we are. It's unapologetic. It's in your face. You know, for some people, I guess I love it. You know, I'm the trillest. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, anybody that's trill, any, if I sniff any bit of trillness, I'm all on it. When I remember listening, the first time I listened to their podcast, and they sounded like a Boondocks episode. And I was like, wait a minute, you said all that and you make money doing this? And I was like, Felicia, like, it just feels like freedom, because when you're in corporate, it's funny. I was talking to my manager yesterday and I said, I was like, I just want to be myself and be at work. And she was like, yeah, just stay at home then. Just stay at home.
That was honest.
Yeah, no, we have a great relationship. I love my new manager, but well, she's not that new. I mean, I was 9 months now at this new job, but I love her because we have a really good relationship and she lets me in under the tent. Like, she gives me peeks under the tent that I've never gotten before. Now, mind you, I am a senior director now, so this is where I'm at. But I mean, still, she could be, you know, closer to the
she
best.
She could totally
best
shut
things.
You out.
Yeah, she could, yeah. But like, she doesn't. And I so appreciate it because really I get cool. to learn. I'm learning so much. So it's just like, oh, child, it's a lot of lessons I got to share with y'all this next season. But I got to process them my damn self because I'm going through them. So it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but she said to me, she was like, yeah, so you can be yourself at home. But she's like, think about it. Even with my kids, like, they don't get to see, you know, me that my husband sees or my friends see. They don't get to see. They get to see mommy. That's the person, that's the version of me they see. So like, this idea that we have different versions of ourselves, and it's like, that's the social construct though. And so for me, it's painful because I don't want to create different versions of myself. And I don't have children. So maybe if I did, I would see it differently. Maybe I would have that perspective.
I'm curious. I think that maybe you wouldn't show. I think some people have a harder time wearing different hats like that.
Totally right. And some people do it so effortlessly. Like my manager, she's masterful at this shit. And I'm just looking at her. I'd be in meetings with her like, why did you sound like you were in agreement with that when the words that came out of your mouth were that this is some bullshit? So help me do that. Help me do that. Because literally,
that's diplomatic genius.
I mean, she is one of the most diplomatic people. I'm just like, how do you make it sound? And the art, you know how, and I don't know what episode it was. I'll have to go back and find it for you. But I always say, well, I guess I've said it in several episodes, but I always say, show your teeth. Like, I know Black women hate to be told to smile. And in fact, all women hate to be told. Like, it is very annoying when a man was like, smile. And it's like, I'm not here for your pleasure, you weirdo. Yeah. But like, ladies, show your teeth. Show your teeth. Show your top teeth. And it looks like you're smiling, but you're not. You're just showing your teeth. My boss is a master at showing her teeth. She literally will be telling somebody about themselves and she literally will showing her teeth and it seems like she's smiling and happy. And then her voice naturally lifts up and brightens when she shows her teeth, which that's why I tell people to show their teeth, because that naturally happens when you show your teeth. I got that from working in radio way back in the day. Like when you're on the radio or when you're recording, you should just smile. You should force a smile because it makes your voice sound brighter and happier and it resonates better. You have a better tone in your voice when you show your teeth. See? So I'm not showing my teeth now.
Yeah, but she was a second ago when you heard that tone lift.
Yeah. And so, but she does this in meetings.
Wow.
And I'm just kind of like,
does she come off as fake? Does she seem fake?
No, she is the least.
That's a talent.
She is the least fake person ever. And also the words that come out of her mouth are still cussing you out in a very professional way. It's a beautiful. It's like masterful. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn this.
You mentioned something a second ago. I know you said you need to process some of this stuff. I think it could be really cool, though, if you do episodes where you're like, this is the first time I'm seeing this and I may change my mind on it, but here's my perspective now. And then like just come back when you know more and talk about that same thing again and let us know the new thing that you learned. Because you're talking about all these peaks behind the curtain.
Yeah, all I guess is, I should record cool. through my pain.
Well, I didn't know it was painful.
Record through your pain, Felicia. Just don't break down and cry.
I didn't realize. Well,
I'm putting violins in the soundtrack of the episode.
Get up. Stop crying. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's been painful. Yeah. I'm always on the verge of quitting.
Because the growth is hard? Because it's a lot to new stuff to learn?
Well, my biggest challenge is that I have switched industries, which means I'm now at an organization where my function is not the lead function. My function is actually now a support function. And I have never experienced that. So I am literally a cross-functional now, where I used to be the spoke of the wheel and all the cross-functionals worked for me. Wow. And my management, you know, we were the end-all be-all, where now that's not the case. But yet in my mind, I got promoted. But then the way people treat me, I'm just like, wait a minute, hold on. I'm a business person.
Oh, wow. That's a mind trip.
So that's one, right? And then my boss is always telling me, like, you're not in the machine anymore. Stop acting like you're in the machine. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
What does she mean by that? Like, so what?
So used to these huge, like, I mean, I worked for blue chip companies, right? Like, I worked for Ecolab. And even though Ecolab was B2B, the marketing function is the line function. And I've talked about line functions. So I worked for Ecolab. I interned at Johnson & Johnson before that. I worked at Kellogg Foods. So marketing is the line function, right? The general managers come up through marketing. I worked at Frito-Lay. That is definitely a marketing-driven company. I worked at Coca-Cola, which is definitely another marketing-driven company. So the function of marketing, they're the business people that own the P&L. That's the function that owns the P&L. Finance people may try to feel different. Sorry, finance people. Understand.
What's P&L?
Profit and loss statement. So we own the balance sheet, the checkbook, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
We decide, you know, what money we gonna spend to make money, that kind of thing. We own the budgets and we have the power as a function. Boy. You know, the leaders of that function have the power, thereby you get a little bit of the power too while you work on your little piece of all this, putting it all together. Now I'm in an organization where it's an operations-driven organization, and I don't know the business as well as I should. And yeah, it's been tough. So those have been the two lessons, right? It's like, I don't know the business as well as I should. And so I'm working on projects and I'm doing things that would dictate or have me needing to know the business. And that background noise was Chris pulling out his notebook and pen and taking notes. And if you're listening to this, you probably should take some too. Because you never know when I'm going to drop a nugget or two or three. But the biggest thing is you have to recognize where you sit in the organization. You have to recognize and understand how you can drive value, even if you're not in the line function. And so although I'm very credentialed and very educated and I have a lot of experience, it has been difficult for me to execute at the level that I'm used to, you know, doing, because, you know, I'm Black excellence. Not too long horn or anything. It just is what it is. But I think it's been difficult to see that, oh, that's not how that works. So that doesn't make sense. And I'm trying to connect dots and put it all together. And then, yeah.
It sounds like a lot of new.
Yeah.
A whole lot of new stuff.
More than what I anticipated.
Yeah. I could see that being really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've been there, there's an energy shift from being in the driver's seat to being the support,
yes,
the co-pilot.
Yes.
That's a complete energy shift.
Yeah. because I mean, I'm over here. Ooh. You know how, have you ever watched or been privy to a parent trying to teach their kid how to drive?
No.
So literally, oh, this is going to be your life.
I don't wanna.
In 8 years, my friend. Ha ha. So listen, my mom, every time I would drive her somewhere, she literally would like move her foot and try to brake. Like she would brake in the passenger seat. I'm like, you don't have a brake. What are you doing? Stop doing that. You're making me nervous. Like, stop it. But she's like, you're going too fast. I'm like, look, I'm 30 years old. Do you want to be in this car or not? Been driving for 15 years now. But here, you know, the parallel here is that I have got to get comfortable with these other people driving. And there's a level of trust that I need to cultivate because I'm the new person. I'm the person nobody knows. I'm the, you know, and although my experience gives me some credibility, some people are like, we're not impressed. Some people are just not impressed. And part of that not being impressed comes from the fact that I don't know the business as well as I should. So me getting more grounded in the business will help a lot. I learned this week and from some feedback I got too. So adulting sucks. This is adulting. This is adulting. So,
would there have been a way for you to get to know the business better than you do now that you didn't partake in? Because I'm wondering why you said I should know it better.
So I've been there 9 months. And part of it is it's a business where you kind of have to be there and in there and kind of get your hands dirty. And because of the pandemic, I haven't been able to do that. Like, I'm not trying to be out there. And then also we're in a business where it's B2B and our clients, their buildings are closed and we provide services in their buildings. So if the building's closed and there ain't nothing for us to do, so it's just kind of crazy. The other rule that I'm going to make for sure, if I have to continue to work in corporate America after this job, is I am not going to work for a company that's not financially winning. So I'm not too much concerned with like being in the driver's seat per se. But if the car is driving over a cliff, why are you getting in that car? Don't get in that car. You know the car is going 100 miles an hour towards the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Why did you get in that car? I know they gave you a lot of money, girl. Don't you get in that car. I don't care what that offer said, what that bonus said. I don't care that you got a car allowance. Like, don't do it. And I didn't think about that with this situation because, you know, I got laid off from Coke and I needed a job. And it just felt like divine timing the way it all happened. And I was like, okay.
Maybe it is.
Like everything you come against is a lesson. Everything is a lesson. I mean, some of this shit is painful as hell, but like it is still like something you have to learn. And like I had mentioned the last episode that just was posted finally on Sunday, I had mentioned about my mentee who, you know, he's looking for another job because, you know, he feels abused and it's a lot of work and blah, blah, blah. And that's great. And so he interviewed and he was like, yeah, this job will be perfect. Like, I feel like they have better work-life balance, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I said, because, you know, it was weird. Like, I just kind of knew he wasn't going to get it. It was so weird. I don't know how I knew, but I knew. And I told him, I said, look, understand, you're not going to get to leave the job you're at until you learn the lessons that you got to learn at this job. And there are so many lessons just from talking to you that you need to learn. And one of them is how to advocate for yourself, how to push back, you know, in a way that's productive, how to make sure that you're being supported, how to ask for help. These are all very important things. It's very difficult for a lot of, especially younger people who are still junior in their careers. And we're not taught to do that. Like, think about it. When we teach from a very young age, sit down, shut up, do your work. Like, that's school. That's K through 12. Right. So now here you are, you made it through undergrad, which according to what kind of undergrad you went to, you know, they took attendance and that was part of your grade. So like there's still these rules to force you to comply and conform. So then when you get to a position in your life where you're an adult and you should have some agency, you know, you'd be able to use a little bit more of the free will God actually gave you, you find yourself very much conditioned to like, you know, well, if my boss says, I just have to do it. I was like, no, no, that is not the answer. Your boss may say something, but they're not thinking about. So that's the other thing about school and parents and being a kid. Everybody is conditioned to, yes, we're telling these kids what to do, but we're doing it from an intention that this is good for them. Like kids need structure, right? Like they haven't, their brains haven't fully developed. They can't make decisions well. They can't process things well. And it's on us as adults to teach them. And we do that in a very structured way. But the problem with the way we have things structured, the structure is also built to support the system of corporate and working, right? So it's also built to have you conform in that system. But when nobody ever takes a step back and says, hey, your job won't matter if you have a heart attack and stroke out and die. Your job won't matter if you like lose your mind and end up in the nut house. Your job won't matter if you kill yourself. Like, your job won't matter. So you have to take care of yourself. And so that's the disconnect in our society and the constructs that we live under, because we're not teaching people to take care of themselves first and put their needs first. Like, he literally told his boss in his review, this is my mentee, he said, I am burnt out. I feel very burnt out. And his boss just kind of was like, oh, okay. And why? And it's sad because you can see how the construct plays out on both sides. So he's looking that, well, if I tell you that, then you're going to make changes and you're going to adjust. And his boss is looking at him like, okay, I don't know what you want me to do with that because that's not my problem.
Interesting.
Because we're not, I'm not your teacher, I'm not your parent, I'm not, right? Like,
but isn't the boss responsible for divvying out, well, in some instances, the workload? But I guess you have to then say, hey, I can't handle this, I need someone else to take that, but then I'll be better. Or you know how to say it better than me, but.
But no, so the boss is responsible for delivering results by any means necessary, which is the construct of corporate America. So I don't care if you do it or he does or he doesn't. As long as somebody does this shit that either I can't do or I don't want to do or whatever reason why I'm delegating it, that's all that matters. What did my boss tell me needed to get done? And so, you know, we really have lost the humanity in work. And the saddest thing is you would be a most effective manager if you put the concern and care of your employees that directly report to you, if you put that first, they will give you higher, better output. Why? Because it goes back to the construct we live under. The teachers who have the best scores are the teachers who what? They care. The teachers who care. When you show people that you care about them, subconsciously, you're setting an expectation of them. And so humans want to rise to that expectation always. We're wired that way.
But not everyone is playing by the same rules. And this is why corporate could be so frustrating, or any interpersonal relationships can be frustrating. It's because I think that we need to have this mutual respect. You give me this, I give you that. It works really well, but you don't know that or you don't care. So as an employee, how do you, I guess you talk about this all the time, but I was going to say, how do you advocate for yourself? And then what do you do if there's no change? you get out, right?
Well, I will say at the end of the day, we're all adults now, right? No, there's no more teacher, student. There's no more parent, child, right? We are all adults. And what that means is the onus is now on us. As unfair as that may seem or sound or feel like, the onus is on you. And so now my message is, and my mission is to give you the confidence and the courage to advocate for yourself, to fight for what you deserve, what you've worked hard for. Because at the end of the day, especially when we talk about Black women, it is really about recognizing the value you bring. It's about articulating that value in a way that resonates with your organization, and then building the relationships that will support your career at that organization. And that's not easy, right? And that's why people pay me a lot of money now to kind of handhold them through a promotion cycle. And it's what I'm good at, and it's what I do. So my goal is to really transition from me being in corporate in these spaces to me helping others who really do, you know, have this dream of climbing the highest heights in corporate, me helping them on their journey. That is my goal. That's why I started this show. Sometimes I ask myself, why should we keep going? And I'm always reevaluating because it's a lot of work. And I mean, we've been at this since 2018. And
there's been a lot of transition in your life in general.
Oh, my God. Like, I've been
almost since we started
over together. The place, all over the place. It's been a lot. It's been, you know, so balancing my personal journey and those learnings and then, you know, translating that into my coaching practice and this podcast. It's a lot. It's just a lot. But I think when I think about, you know, why is this shit so hard? It's twofold. One is our perspective. So how you approach and look at and feel about it can make it more difficult than what it actually is. So I try to remind myself of that. But then two, life is just hard. Like, can we talk about my new favorite song? Well, it's not a new song, but it's my favorite song right now.
What is it?
It's called Earth is Ghetto. Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
I love this song.
All right, pull it up.
I'm out on the street by the corner store, you know, the one on 15th. So I'm easy to see. Definitely. I can't reach my planet, but I need to leave. You should see these people. It's hard to believe how they treat each other. It's hard to conceive. Oh, Earth is ghetto. I wanna leave. Oh, Earth is ghetto. I wanna leave.
If I'm allowed to.
I love it. It's a little bit longer, but yeah,
she's
that is
good.
My jam because I'm just like, this shit is
so Earth ghetto. Is ghetto. I want to leave.
Oh my God. This shit is so ghetto.
Man. Yeah.
I'm just like, what planet do I really belong on? Like, I can't, a lot of times I'm like, I cannot belong here. Like, how did I get here? Because one, my mouth, right? Like, it's off top.
Yeah, prophets always have a difficult time. And the teachers,
I've learned that. Yeah, the truth tellers, yeah, it's difficult.
It's not easy.
But I tell people all the time, I'm not Job and I'm not Jesus, so please stop crucifying me. Okay. I'm not.
They got their hungry starving, nothing to eat, and the homeless living out on the street, and the sick are dying, crooked police, politicians lying, criminals on the street. I got five.
So, okay, I want to ask, I assume very much that it's harder if you come wearing black skin to work to do all this advocating stuff. Is that true? Then, like, let's say you come with white skin.
Let's talk about this, because there's this relativity and it's comparing apples to oranges. So
okay,
let me break this down and hopefully people understand this. So from the perspective of the oppressed, no matter what intersectionality or group you feel oppressed from, you're not a cis het white male, right? Okay. So let's, because we're going to get to them in a minute, but all the rest of the people, including white women, because of the foundation, the foundational construct that this country has been built upon, which is racism and race. Race is not real, actually. Like, there's one race, it's called human. Like, we're the human race, we're all human. But we made these boxes for all the reasons. And it's funny because the reasons why we made the boxes are really very human in nature. Like, everybody wants to feel important. Like, racism is a very ego-driven thing, concept, because somebody had to feel superior. Somebody wanted to feel better about themselves, yeah. And, you know, because they most likely had low self-esteem, right? And the most...
Someone with low self-esteem in a high position of power.
Yes, and the saddest... person in corporate America is an insecure white man. That is the saddest thing to ever see, because it's like, oh, yeah, child,
that's true.
Because you're wreaking havoc on the rest of the world basically around you. But here's the deal. You've got two things at play. You've got the just struggle of humanness, like the things that happen to us as human beings. And you have the things that happen to us because we've made up this construct. And so that has actually manifested into certain forces and things that happen in the world. And they happen to certain people that look a certain way. And it breaks out by the construct. And then we see it in different ways. So like all the shit that was happening to Asian people. And the crazy thing is, you also see that even if I'm in an oppressed group, I could be a party to continuing the oppressive construct with my behavior. For I don't know why, except for there's the humanness of I want to feel superior, better, or somehow powerful over you. So an example of that is you saw images and video of Black people, which was so disturbing in my soul. I'm like, really? You saw images of Black people, especially like on the West Coast, like being violent towards Asian people because they believed that the Asian people had started the pandemic. I was like, oh my God, we have, like, this is where we really have to take a step back in our educational system and say we all as humans, we have failed. We have failed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very disturbing on so many levels.
As if those exact Chinese people brought it over.
They, like, mind you, because they are citizens here. They are here. They've been here. They didn't go to Wuhan and then come over here. That's not how that happened. But again, there's no thought process. And so we are so...
That is a human problem. Absolutely.
It is a human problem. And we're so conditioned in the constructs that we haven't taken a step back and said, well, what boxes am I allowing myself to be put in? What boxes am I putting myself in? What boxes have I made for myself? What stories are we telling ourselves? Like, nobody takes a step back. Everybody just takes in information however they feel, and then they react. And so fundamentally, that is the problem. Like, at the root of everything is this humanness problem that we're having and the lack of intellectual honesty, right? Mm-hmm. So you have that. Then added on to that, so the next layer is racism, oppression, history, you know, the thing that critical race theory in academia, like, if we're honest, like, critical race theory is only talked about in academia. Like, people are not out here trying to teach critical race theory. Like, and all critical race theory is like, oh, because there's the construct of racism, all this other shit happened in our society, which is true. Like, but for whatever reason, again, people's egos don't want to admit that and don't want that to be true. But it's true. Like, this fake thing has a real effect. Critical race theory, at its bare minimum, is basically saying, hey, because of racism and oppression and white supremacy, these other things have, this is how it permeates our society and affects everything. And so it's the same reason why a Black person will perceive racism when the intention was not racist, because it is so, it permeates so much in our society. And so even me, I've had to take a step back, and I have to, again, this that's why, you know, I'm thinking about the double consciousness of, so like James Baldwin and W.E.B. Du Bois, like, this is why they write about this, be what it is to be Black in this society. Because at the end of the day, you're human, and you, but you can't just live in just humanness. You also are now stuck living in this construct that you didn't even make, that doesn't benefit you. It's already bad enough being human doesn't benefit anybody, but then you got to add this other shit. And so this idea that, oh, it's harder for a Black person, is why white people get so upset, because they're like, well, my life hasn't been easy. You're right. Your life hasn't been easy because you're a human. And no human's life is easy. Even the rich ones. Rich people have problems. And poor people are like, well, how do rich people got? Because my only, because poor people think my only problem is I ain't got no money. And then when you get some money, you're like, fuck life. Because life has problems. So your life problem may be you're broke. Another person's life problem is they may not be healthy, or they may be depressed, or they may have people using them, or you know, they may not be in a job they like all the other life things outside of being broke. These are human things. And so it's very, it's a very difficult pill to swallow, because you have so many people having to live with both constructs, the construct of humanness and the construct that we've created, the fake construct of race. And then white men, they look at, you know, other races and they're like, I don't see what the problem is. Life's hard. But it's like, yes, you're right. Life is hard. Your life probably sucked. You probably had dad whip the shit out of you. Why patriarchy? But what we can't do is deny people their experiences, especially when there's a pattern and there's shared experience. There's data to back it up. Like, stop trying to pretend like racism doesn't exist just because you feel like you're not racist. Like, stop it already. Enough. Don't try to pretend that sexism doesn't exist just because you have a penis. Stop it. Enough. Right? Stop pretending, because at the end of the day, you would never trade places with that other person. Like, if God came down and said, oh, my child, you're so pure, why don't you trade places with Felicia, the Black woman?
The thing is, we don't know until we trade places. So the best we can do, this goes back to stop pretending. But I think the other part is, and believe people when they tell you their experience. You go, well, yeah, I've never had that experience.
Yeah, but some of this shit is so bad. Like, sometimes I've listened to myself, or I've reread when I was trying to explain to a white person, like, my experience, and it sounds fucking crazy. Like, some of the shit is so bad. It just sounds like so unrealistic. And literally, I have had white people be like, that didn't happen. No, because it's so unbelievable. Like, and then it's like, you must have perceived that wrong, because at the end of the day, it all does boil down to how it impacted me, right? Like, it all boils down to two things, intention and impact. And so a lot of people want to say, well, if it wasn't that person's intention, But that doesn't mean that it didn't make me feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we start shifting, because the power that whiteness, the power of whiteness is that I don't have to worry about the impact as long as my intention was good. And so once we shift to, oh no, we're going to focus on the impact. But see,
we're not there yet.
And I got to teach my people how to survive with these assholes and their terrible intentions. But really, honestly, most humans, they really do have good intentions. It's just, again, we don't ever think outside of ourselves. And we're very ego driven, especially in this country.
I was going to say our ego, I can feel it internally as you're saying it. Those times where it happens all the time,
mm-hmm.
In human interaction, where it's like, I didn't mean that. And then, but I hear what the impact was. And like, I could either choose to ignore that. And basically, if I ignore it, it's me protecting myself. Because what happens is when I look at the impact instead of the intention, now I'm no longer in the right. And if I'm in the wrong, then that's a wound.
It feels bad.
That's hard. Mm-hmm. It feels
bad. And see, that's
bad,
your humanness.
Which is okay.
That's your humanness. That's okay.
You know, like we have to get comfortable with being wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. But we have built a construct in corporate America. It feels detrimental to admit that you're wrong. It feels detrimental to say, oh, you know what? We could do it different. Let me share what I learned. And unless you're in an environment and a culture that says, oh, it's okay to be wrong. And in fact, we expect you to be wrong. We expect you to say you're wrong, but we expect you to tell us what you learned. So unless you're in a culture that like really drives that home and that's really embedded and ingrained in that culture by the leaders, then everybody's going to be in cover your ass mode. And that's what that is. And it's very sad. And it's very hard for someone like me who is not that way. And I'll give you an example, a great example that just happened this morning. So I have a colleague overseas and we're working on this global project. And so he's the lead on the global project. Now, has he done the best work? No, he has not. Let's just be honest. But then also, have we in the U.S., have we been preoccupied on our part? Absolutely. Could we be further along? Probably if we didn't have all this other shit we've been working on, right? Like we have consciously deprioritized this project, even though it's a global priority. But you have to pick and choose your battles every week, right? So that's a lesson I'm learning. And then be comfortable with, hey, this shit ain't gonna whatever. But instead of him trying to, again, it goes back to how to win friends and influence people. So you let people save face. So instead of him trying to let people save face, he sends out an email early our time this morning, choosing violence. He chose violence. And the thing that he doesn't understand about my manager, she likes violence. She interned for the CIA. Like she worked for the CIA. Ooh. So.
Okay. She's okay. She's not.
Listen, she knows how to hide body parts where you'll never find them again. Right. Like she's crazy. So, which I love. Absolute.
That's fantastic.
So, he chose violence and he came for me, which again, don't come for hers. Cause she was like, oh, you're coming for us. Right. So she answered the email before I even had a chance to think about how I wanted to respond. And I was like, this is great. And I'm just really grateful because, you know, he tried it and then he kept going and then she, you know, stabbed him in his guts. So it's just like, you shouldn't have tried it. You tried it. Why? Because your ego,
right.
And you didn't want to take any blame for this project going off the rails. And when actually it's all of us, like none of us have like really held hands and been like, we're going to fight really hard to make sure and run with this. All of us are like busy doing other things. And this kind of has been the last thing on the plate. So instead of either party admitting that, it was like, Oh, you tried to slice me? And then my boss was like, now I'm going to kill you. Like, right? Like, it was great. All over email. It's like corporate violence. Is that,
are people afraid that they're going to get... Why do people blame?
It's fear. You know? It's fear. It's absolutely
They're afraid they're going to get sacked or what?
In a weird way, yeah. They're afraid they're going to look bad. They don't want to look... People don't like to look bad. And we've really got to get away from that because you can't learn if you don't ever make any mistakes or ever... You know, if there's never a do different to be had, like you're just stagnant. So we need to destigmatize in the workplace this idea that making mistakes or things going wrong is just so detrimental to a point where you're going to lose your job. Like we need to let that kind of shit go. But for whatever reason,
is it true that you'll lose your job or is it just they're afraid of it?
Not these days. Listen, it will take a lot for you to lose your job these days. Like literally,
you were saying that in the last episode.
You literally would just have to stop working. Like you literally would have to like not show up, have your manager send like wellness check people because like she hasn't shown up to any of her scheduled meetings in 2-3 days. Like you literally to lose your job, you would literally have to just not show up at all. Like if you just come to 1 or 2 meetings, you could drag that shit out without doing any work for a while because it is so hard to find talent right now. Like it's bad. So
what kind of talent are people looking for?
All kinds of talent. If whatever you're doing out there, like there's a company and companies, like there's so many people quitting their jobs. There's so many people who are like, I'm not about this shit. And the thing is, people don't understand the impact of the gig economy. Like you can survive, like legit survive, like pay your rent, eat food, put gas in your car, and it'd be less stressful than dealing with these motherfuckers at a 9-to-5. And so I will Uber, Lyft, I will TaskRabbit, I will, like, it's so many things that people will pay you to do. Like, no, they have to pay you because inflation right now. Like, I spent, like, I bought some things at the store that feel like normally would probably have been, like, $55, $60. It was $100 and some. I was like, fuck. Huh. Yeah, like, things
It's like every time I go to the grocery store these days.
Yeah, that's what
I'm like,
it is.
What happened?
It's crazy out here. But like, in addition to that, people are making more money. And then you got the Amazons of the world. Like they just need warm by. Like, will you move this widget to here? Will you drive this van? Okay, come on. But like, even that, you know, some people just are tired of the construct of what work is, how we've tailored work. And a lot of people, you know, I'm starting to realize, like, I want to do something that, like, feeds my soul. And I want to do something that's going to help people. And I want to do something that means something. I don't want to just be a cog in the wheel. And so as people are figuring those things out, they're quitting. And so...
Interesting. Y'all going to lose Felicia at some point.
Listen. I need to get out of corporate so bad. But I think for me, it feels better to do work that like feeds you and doesn't drain you. And like when I'm on coaching calls or when I'm helping somebody through their career dilemma, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Cause I'm so good at it. Like I'm like scarily good at it. It scares me sometimes. So that's where I'm like, okay, whatever I got to do over the next year to like really get this up and going and running, I'm going to do. And now that I finally have somewhere to live and I'm sleeping in my own bed again.
There you go. Yeah.
Now I'm going to get it all together here in the next year, including this podcast and being very consistent and then selling advertising for the podcast because I need to sell some advertising for this podcast. But yeah, like I think the next year is going to be really, really like good because we're going to really stay focused on what are all the things you need to do to get promoted? That's it. That's what this podcast is about. This podcast is about managing, navigating, getting promoted.
So So do you get the same feeling of, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing when you record the podcast?
Not when I'm recording, because I'm always very nervous.
I'm going to guess why. Because you don't have the back and forth.
Yeah.
And you're not tooling with other people. You're not like tooling someone's situation.
Yeah.
You're not like getting in there and messing around and like really helping some. Like,
yeah.
I think maybe you are, but you're shooting in the dark. And so you don't have that back and forth energy.
A little bit. I mean, I do draw a lot upon, you know, what are the themes that are coming out of my most recent coaching calls? Because usually there's a theme.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That comes out, right? But I think when I listen to the episodes after they're live and I listen to them, I'm like, oh, that was good, girl. You should hear me. Like I actually listened to Sunday's episode and when I went to Starbucks to get coffee this morning and I was like, that was good. Yes.
It was fire, man. I loved last week.
That. I mean, that was totally off the dome. Holy, I love That's your sound so design too. But I'm like, yeah, like I really like, okay. And then it reminds me, like, keep going. You can do this. So, you know, 2020, I've taken a lot of hiatus because Lord knows I needed it. But when we start back in January, so I'm actually going to take 3 weeks off for Christmas break, like from the 9 to 5. And then when we start back in January, we're going to hit it. Like I actually will have some assistance. I've signed up for this program that has these doers. And so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully this works.
I don't know. What is that?
So it's more than just a virtual assistant I'm learning. I'm not quite sure what I've gotten myself into. I'll keep you posted. But yeah, it's a program for female entrepreneurs. So I think I've got all the knowledge I need, but I do need help executing. And that's where I need help. And so this hopefully will help. If it doesn't, then it's always a tax write-off. So it's fine. It's fine. Any other tax write-offs I can get. Oh, and did you listen to this recording last week? Because there was a part that like sped up when I was talking about the white man and I felt like subconsciously you made it do that.
No, I did not. Of course I listened, but I don't know what happened there. Every once in a while, Logic has this flux. It's called flux time. And it may have actually kicked in and I didn't realize it. Like I accidentally hit Control F, which turns it on. That's how I have it set up. So if you can give me a time code, I can go fix it.
I'm not reloading it up. Don't worry about fixing it. But I thought it was hilarious because it was when I was talking about like whiteness and whiteness needs to stop or something. And it like sped up real quick. But it was kind of cool the way it happened. So then I was like, ah.
Maybe I did it on purpose.
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. I was like, did he do this on purpose? But then it was kind of weird. So I was like, no, he wouldn't have done that because he's audio. You're like a purist with the audio. So just because it did sound kind of wonky the way it sped up.
It might have been an accident.
Yeah, it didn't sound like you did it on purpose. But it was kind of cool all at the same time. Dang. It was funny. It's like even your mistakes. Like,
subconsciously, I sabotaged the white man part.
Yes. No, but even your mistakes sound cool. I was like, oh.
Did you like where I pitched your voice down?
Yes.
When you were like so much solo.
Fun. Yes. That was so much fun. I love the sound. Like I always want the podcast to be dynamic in that way. And I've always been willing to invest in that. So thanks for rocking with me, Chris. And thanks for cheering this show on. I know it's your favorite show and I know you can't tell Nikayla that. So don't even say no. Don't respond. Cause we like Side Hustle Pro.
That's right. We love it.
We do. We love Side Hustle.
You were talking about podcast moguls at the beginning, and I think she's reopening that in January. Not sponsored. Good. Just saying.
If you I don't mind saying, like, you know, I'm all here for Black women. You already know that. So if you want to start a podcast, I would always recommend, and I always tell people, do what Nikayla tell you to do, because I ain't really do everything Nikayla tell me to do, because I'm lazy. I don't have time. And I got a real job, y'all. I got a real job with real bills. So I do this as a labor of love first and foremost. And I want to always remind that, like, I want to make my money, like, actually in the coaching thing and all that stuff. Like, the podcast is that poor soul that ain't got no money and needs some help. And this is free for as long as Apple lets it be free, because I have a feeling I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what podcasting is going to turn into, but I definitely do want to turn this platform into a video. And I have been thinking about, and this is something we're going to have to talk about, but I have been trying to figure out, do I, you know, start using Zoom and doing the video thing, and what does that look like? But then I'm like, I need hair, I need makeup, I need the, like, I can't show up looking like this. This is not appropriate. I can't have a professional podcast show and look like a chia pet. Not gonna.
I told her before we started recording that I think her hair looks great.
I don't. She does not. That's all that matters.
And that is all that matters.
That is all that matters.
She's not going for the punk rock look.
No, I'm not. So. But I do. I'm like ready to rock out. Like, no, that's right. I don't want that. No, I want my waves and curls and stuff. So
yeah.
So I gotta think through that, because I don't want the podcast to be predicated on I gotta do hair and makeup and all this stuff. So we'll see. But when it's a television show and I have budget and it's planned out, and then, you know, like, that's different. But when I'm like working on the podcast, I'm doing it after work on the weekends here, in the, you know, when I have time.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, I'm not there yet. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. But
these are things to come. There's a lot that we're going to work on this season. Yeah. Was that all the questions?
That's
we
good.
Did. We kind of planned this out,
I
guys.
Think we did.
Kinda.
It.
But on that note, Chris, I gotta get back to work. Like, you scheduled this middle
Let's
of the
close
work
it out.
Day. I blocked my calendar, and now we're overtime because of me. It's my fault.
It was my fault too. I pushed it off an entire hour.
No. You're fine. Okay, guys. So as always, if you have a career dilemma and you want to email me and ask me a question, email ask@trillmba.com. And I will help you with your question or dilemma, as long as it's something quick. If you know it's something in depth and you really need to workshop it, go to trillmba.com/coaching and schedule a 45-minute session with me. It is $100, which the prices are going up at the beginning of the year. So if you need a coaching call, you better schedule it now. While it's $100, because after January 1st, the prices are going way, way up, because I have way undervalued myself.
Because you're making people a lot of money.
Oh my God. If I get one more email talking about, I got a $40,000 new job because I talked to you, I was like, kind of.
$40,000 over what they were making before?
Yes. So again, guys, if you need me, ask@trillmba.com. If I don't answer in 48 hours, please re-email me. I just missed it because I get a lot of email. So send it back to the top of my email box. If you want a coaching session, trillmba.com/coaching, and you can schedule time, calendar, and pay. And then we will meet up and we will workshop your problem. And you will just be better at work. And you'll be beasting it out. And till next time, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.